Praise his name. Let's stand together, if you will. Just bow our heads, we open the service. Heavenly Father, once again, we have an opportunity before us to come and to gather together as you instructed us in your word. Father, you forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And even more so as we see that day approaching, and truly, Father, I see that day closing in. Lord, we pray that you would just bless each and every one that's gathered here tonight. Lord, strengthen us and encourage us. As your word comes forth, may it just feed our hearts, our souls, Lord. May we measure ourselves by it righteously, Lord. And Lord, may we overcome those things that has shown us where we're short. And Father, may it strengthen us in our weaknesses. We thank you, Lord. Pray that you would just bless us all now. Have your way in the complete service, we ask in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his holy name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Turn with me in our Only Believe books, if you would. I'd like to... Amen. Page 705. Let's start there. I've sung that for a while. You're all on the altar. If you give him everything you have. Hallelujah. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word and have peace and contentment always? You must do his sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed. Till our body and soul he doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart doth the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Who can tell all the love he will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made? Of the fellowship sweet we shall share at his feet when our all on the altar
your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
Amen. Have you experienced that peace and rest? Amen. It's so true. Page 682. It's over a couple pages there. He hideth my soul. Hallelujah.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft.
Covers me.
there with his hand and covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported, I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation is wonderful love. I'll shout with the millions on, oh glory, hallelujah. He hideth my soul in the depth of the rock. That shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand and covers me there with his hand.
Oh, hallelujah. Hideth my soul. Praise his holy name. Page 604. A little bit. Truly see you in the rapture for what he's done for us, saints.
If we never meet again on this earth, my precious friend, and if to God we have been true and we've lived above all sin, then for us there'll be a meeting. Yes, there's going to be a greeting. I'll see you in the rapture. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I'll see you in the rapture. I'll see you in the rapture. I'll see you at that meeting in the air. Loved ones, let me say that there's sure to come a day when the Lord will come again and catch his waiting bride. Oh, what a day! Hallelujah! So get ready now to meet him, and with this message, go and greet him. Oh, I'll see you in the rapture. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I'll see you in the rapture. I'll see you in the rapture. I'll see you at that meeting in the air. Oh, hallelujah. How lift our blessed Savior will
it again. Are you looking forward to that day?
Oh, I'll see you in the rapture. I'll see you in the rapture. I'll see you at that meeting in the air. There with our blessed Savior, we'll live and reign forever.
I'll see you in the rapture. It's coming soon, saints. Keep your eye on the goal. Amen. Praise the name. Brother Hamilton, would you come up for the offering? Praise his name. Hallelujah. That's the blessing, if you will. To see him, truly do. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to him look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. There's all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Hallelujah. Amen. Does somebody have a need or request on your heart, something to remember? Amen. Just this, bow our heads. Brother Josh, could you take the request tonight?
Precious Heavenly Father, it's such a blessing and honor, Lord. Lord, gathered in your little place, Lord, singing a little bit of song, Lord. Lord, thanking in the rapture, Lord.
Oh, yes.
Friends and family, Lord, that's gone before. Lord, what a precious, glorious day that will truly be, Lord. Lord, looking so forward to heaven or neck. Lord, to hear, Lord, say, well done, my good and faithful servant, my brother and my sister. Lord, it's such a wonderful day to look forward to. Lord, that's why in this life, Lord, we give everything to you with all our hearts and all our minds. Lord, we only do as you have us to lead us to do. Lord, as each one of us has needs in this body, Lord, we ask you to, Lord, meet them in such a mighty way, Lord. All the ones that may be sick or afflicted this evening, Lord, may be needing rest for their bodies, Lord, we ask you to grant them. Lord, just touch them. Let them know that everyone loves them. Let them know that you're with them and always will provide each need.
Yes.
Lord, we just thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. We look to you now, Lord, as the word comes forth, Lord, to give us revelation of that precious word. Lord, more important than anything else in this life, Lord, we ask for. So, Lord, let us ask with all our hearts now that you have your way. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Would you have a song tonight, Karen? Nice if you'd come.
We need a little
Let's all stand, if you would. Sing a little chorus, "Only Believe," and ask our brother to come.
Only believe.
Precious Lord, we thank you for the desire that burns within our hearts, Lord, that's drawn us here this evening. And Lord, we just came together around your precious word, and Lord, to let these things that you've left written for us, Lord, and to rehearse and to renew our minds. And Lord, just praying that through the rehearsing and the renewing of your mind, Lord, that we would be transformed, and Lord, that it would change our way of thinking and change the way we look at situations and maybe life in general. And that, Lord, we would just let you have your perfect way in our hearts and in our lives. That, Lord, our lives would be a true statement, Lord, a living epistle read of all men, written, Lord, that people would be able to see you living through us again today. And, Lord, that's why we've been sent, to finish your great work.
And Lord, that you would receive the glory and the honor for it all. And we just ask your blessings upon your word into our hearts to the hearing. And Lord, just help us to receive our portion this evening, we pray. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Isn't he wonderful? Amen. So thankful to be here this evening and praying that I'll be able to say something to encourage you, to help you along your way, and just praying that God will, it's God's precious word. Amen. As you want, if you'd like to turn with me to 1 John, I know we read this Sunday, but I'm going to read it again tonight with what I'm going to bring, and I'm going to read quite a few scriptures just to bring out a little thought. Amen. I think we can all take something from it, and especially you young people, you need to pay attention to go back and maybe read these things and study these things and think about it. Amen. We're all here tonight as individuals before God. We may have all come together. Some of us may be family members. But before God, we all stand here as individuals and getting our portion. Amen. But here in John, the first chapter and beginning at the first verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was the life, and the life was light of the, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the 14th verse says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. May the Lord bless me in his word, and you may be seated. Amen. I'm going to turn over here to Hebrews and read a scripture that I also mentioned this on Sunday, but we'll just read it to have it fresh in our hearts. In Hebrews, the very first chapter. Amen. I didn't put markers in here, so I'll turn with you. It'll take me just a moment. In Hebrews 1 and 1, and just want you to setting a little foundation for just the things to think about here. But first Hebrews, the first chapter. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, realizing we can look back and see how God spoke to Moses up on the mountain, giving him the law to come down and bring to the children of Israel. And then from that time forward, God began to speak through the prophets and delivered his message all the way up through John and into the Apostle Paul and Peter. We see the God bringing forth his word. But hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So I want you to look, as I start to read some of these things, I want to capture your attention to that God was speaking to us and to the people all these times. We can look back and see how God spoke to the children of Israel through Moses and led them with a pillar of fire and led them up through the wilderness. And we can see how God fought for them all down through the Old Testament. We can see all that God did. We can see how God, through the prophet Elijah, the works that he done. And we see God in John the Baptist as he came on the scene, make way for the Lord as he was coming. And we see all taking place, God using his men and his gift of the Holy Spirit. And let's turn here to 2 Peter now, and read 2 Peter and the first chapter. All very familiar scriptures, but just keep it in mind. We'll just read it. Amen. 2 Peter and the first chapter, and we're going to read from the 10th verse down to about the 21st. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. And yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice from to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, and when we were with him in the holy mount. And we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And who is the Holy Ghost? God in spirit form. So I want you to look at this as we think about this. All that's been written in this Bible was written for our admonition, and God made sure and watched over it to make sure that we get copied down just exactly the way it needed to be. And if you will, let's turn over to, let's go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Now, I might be the one ministering tonight, but you just remember, I'm just your brother, and I'm just here at the church. This does not pertain, we're not speaking about me in general. I want you to just listen to what Paul was saying here for a purpose. In Ephesians 4, and we're going to start here at the 11th verse. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, and to the measure of stature the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So God gave gifts unto men. And I want you to notice that God sent the prophets to speak to us and to bring his word to us. And then he gave all of these other gifts, pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles. But all of them was for your benefit. They were gifts that God gave to the church to bring us to a unity of a faith of what God's purpose was. As we were talking Sunday, God's purpose was to reveal himself and to have the preeminence, the oversight, the leading in a many-membered life. But this was message was sent, and this whole earth was created for that sole purpose, that God could manifest and reveal himself and to show forth his greatness. And as it's been put in motion, as we said here, and we believe the Bible was created by, we believe the world was created by God. We believe God created the trees. We believe God made all these things. But through it all, God still had a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And each one of us tonight, as we said here, as individuals, it's our responsibility before God to make sure that our lives are matching and lining up with what he wants from each one of us as an individual. And so as we've come down into this last age of time, we see all God done through the prophets in the Bible. We see the Bible. We see all the church ages. We can go back and read history and see all that's been given to us. And by God's grace, how the prophet put it into the church age book, and we can see it. And then we see in this last days, we can look and say, God sent a prophet to the land. And he brought a message, and we know he came from God. And God sent him for a purpose. And I want you to think about that. But God's way was through preaching. And that's the way it's going to happen. He's going to use men. God's not going to speak lip to ear to us as he did to many in the very beginning to Adam. But he's speaking to us through his precious word. And he provided ministers to be able to go in and to take this word and to bring it back to a people's hearts. And that's God's provided way. That's God's provided channel. And through that way, as we'll turn over here, let's turn over here to 1 Corinthians and read what Paul said. 1 Corinthians in the first chapter. Just bear this in your heart. I'm going to read it out of the King James Version first, and then I'm going to read it the way they worded it in the New King James Version, just trying to, as they were trying to make it a little more easier to read, maybe easier to understand, but I like the way they put it. But here in the King James Version, and we'll just read that first chapter, 21st verse, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So God had a purpose in it. And over, and in the New King James Version, when they rewrote it, it reads like this. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God that through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. And so this word came and it was laying here before us. And we see down through the church ages on the original first day of Pentecost when Peter stood up. And let's go ahead and go back and read that. Let's go ahead and go read that first. Let's go to Peter, the second book of Acts. I just want you to bear in mind these things as we see it and to bear it. So Peter, we'll begin here in the second book of Acts, the first verse of the second chapter, knowing that Jesus told him after his departure to go to Jerusalem and tarry till they was endued with power from on high. And we'll just pick up here in the first verse and read down to about, I'm going to skip through the chapter some so we can catch it. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So look, God said Brother Branham said God divided himself and sent himself back in the form of the Holy Ghost. He told us he would not leave us comfortless, but I will come to you. And so, and he said, when the Comforter which is come, which is the Holy Ghost, he shall teach you all things and guide you into all truths and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Now I want you to notice Peter here as they come out of there staggering. Scripture says they were staggering as though they were drunk and speaking in unknown tongues. And all these men gathered around from different nations said, I hear him in my own language. And it was an astounding thing to them. But I want you to notice here, we'll drop down to the fourth. We'll start about the 11th verse. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? And others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. I want you to remember, Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ not too many days prior to this three times, because he didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. And he was a coward at that point. He was scared. He didn't want to be identified at that moment. But I want you to watch what happened here as the Holy Ghost come upon him, and then watch the works that begin to happen. As he lifted up his voice, hearken unto my words, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up and loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, for I foresaw the Lord always before my face, and he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy with my countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and in his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath that the fruit of his loins according to the flesh he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. And this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received the Father, the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And I want you to notice, Peter took the words of the prophet Joel. Who gave prophet Joel those words to speak? God did. But I want you to look as Peter went back, and then he represented, look what David done and said. Who give that to David? God did. And so we come down here, and then Peter realizing now, as they said, they're pricked in their hearts, and the message, the foolishness of preaching. Think of it for a moment. It's the word's been coming forth. Now, Peter's been bringing it to him, but now something down on the inside of him began to churn. Oh, what is this? What's he saying? And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this upward generation. And then watch this next verse. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added to them about 3,000 souls, and they contended steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking bread, and in prayers. So I want you to notice, as the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they heard the word of God, they hearkened to the word of God, and they followed it obediently, and God kept his promise to them. And so I want you to stop to think about that today. This Bible, after that time, we know that it went through all of its done, and it got all tangled up down through time and through history. God had a purpose for that. And then we see God begin to restore and to bring back. And we living here at the last age and being able to see, since God has sent a prophet, we can truly realize that this is the last few moments of time. This world is going to come to an end. And we can see that it's God's going to clean it off. He's going to burn it off. There won't be no more of what we've known as what we consider this world, the cosmos. It's going to be history. But through that, in thinking that God's precious word is laying here before us, let's just go real quick to Malachi 4 and read this. Amen. I'll try not to take too long. In Malachi, the fourth chapter, and very familiar. I know we know it, but just want you to have it in your heart. But just think of that. As Peter began to speak the word that the Holy Spirit was revealing to him for that time and watch God manifest it, we can watch it happen through Apostle Paul as he preached many of services, wrote many of these letters. We see it happening down through time through many different evangelists and pastors and apostles and prophets that God has called. From then till now, we can see when God was on the scene, his works were done and his agenda, we'll call it, was completed just the way he set it forth. And here in Malachi, the fourth chapter, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And that day cometh that shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in that day, that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, and for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of that great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And by God's grace, we believe he sent that prophet. Now, God sends a prophet for one reason, and that's to bring a message, to bring something that he's wanting a people to know. And as Brother Branham came on the scene and began to bring forth the word of life that God gave him, and God's using his mouth to speak to a people. And I want you to look at the mess that had happened at that point in time of all the different denominations that was on the scene. And everything, all of your Methodists, your Baptists, and then the Pentecostal movement moved in. And we see God restoring the gifts to the church. And after all of that, it wasn't too many years. And the morals of this country were pretty good then. The faith of the fathers, so to speak, the men that founded this great country over here, and how that on a whole the people had good morals. And I want you to notice how in the time, and you know, I just looking back at history, when Elvis Presley came on the scene, Satan using him, the devil's spirit, and getting in that man and starting a movement all through the land. And at the same time that's going on, Martin Luther raised up. John F. Kennedy was shot. All of the turmoil began to set forth in this country. All the votes, and Brother Branham told us in 1963 that they voted in the wrong man. And we see that people began to lose. People wanted to be more modernistic. The dresses used to be long, and then when the music started and the twisted started, the dresses started creeping up. I'm not that old, but you can go back and search history. You can learn some of these things. And it'd be good for you, too, to realize then they could begin to cut their hair off. That wasn't a thing they used to do. And then we get up to this day and we look around us now and we see all the denominations with their ideas, wearing pants, shorts, doing what they want to do, card games. They go everywhere, do everything they want in the world with no form of Christianity or gospel to their life. And then we can look into denominations such as, well, we take the Amish and look at how they wear their dresses, and they try to do this, but they'll curse. They don't have any, they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And then we see it into the Mennonites. They look really nice, dress, wear their dresses, wear their little bonnets, think they're doing what's right. And we might look at that and say, well, is this right or is that what's right? And then we come over to the Message Church. Brother Branham came and brought a message, and now he's been gone for 45, 50 years, and we look around us and we've got all these different Message churches, and one says he said it like this, and one says he said it like that, and oh, he meant this, and this brother says it's this way, and this brother says it's that way. Then you take it off of the pulpit and it goes into our homes, and one brother says, well, I believe this in my house, and the other brother says, I believe this in my house. But God sent a prophet for one thing, to clear up all the mysteries, and he sent those gifts to the church for one purpose, to bring a unity of the faith in that little bride before he took her off the face of this earth. And God sent those gifts for that reason. And we sit here today as individuals, and it's our obligation before God. We're not here to pattern after one another. We're not here for you to try to be like me. I'm not here to try to be like you. I'm here to be just like Jesus Christ said a born-again son or daughter of God would be like. And that's got to be our sole purpose. And I want you to think here, I'll try to get through these fairly quickly, but I want you to think about these quotes Brother Branham made. And this is in the Message Perseverance. He says, God is going to judge the world by Jesus Christ. And Christ in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And God and the Word is the same. And this is God on print. And today we have the prophet's message, which is also God's word on print. So I want you to keep that in mind. And now I want you to think of something Brother Branham used as a very good example here in the Message in Absolute. Paragraph 56, and this was preached March 4th, 1963. Did you know that a common ball game has to have an absolute? What is the absolute of a ball game? An umpire. And what if there is no umpire? See, an umpire, no matter what you're standing, what positions you look at, and you say, it was a ball. He said it was a strike. Well, that's all it was. It was a strike. Why? Because his word. No matter what the bleacher said, what somebody else said, it was a strike because he called it a strike. He is the umpire. And what if there was no umpire? There would be such a fuss. Everything in chaos, and still you couldn't have the ball game. Therefore, you've got to have an absolute to have a ball game. It must be that way. And now there must be an absolute in a traffic light. A traffic light is an absolute, rather to the traffic. What if there was no traffic light? What if the traffic light was out and you run down the street and one fellow was coming this way and he said, no, I was here first and I got to get through there and said, I'm late for work. Talk about a traffic jam. You would really have it. But you see, the traffic light settles it. It's the absolute. And if the light is green, go. If it's red, stop. If there's no such thing as a traffic light, then we'd have traffic jam. And that's what's the matter in the Christian faith today. We've got too many traffic jams and everybody is making their own absolute. But God delivered it already. It's here. And it doesn't matter what I say. It's of no private interpretation. God meant exactly what he said, and he put it right down there in the back of Revelations. He told us not to add to it, not take from it. And God sent a prophet in this age, and he told us, you say it exactly the way I said it. It is the way I read it. It was for the purpose. Take it and move forward with it. So I want you to think about that. Now, to myself personally, I stand here as an individual, and I can say, Lord, thank you. I see that you've revealed yourself to me, and by your grace, I see you fill me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I stand here tonight, Lord, and I'm following you with what you're showing me. And that's wonderful. But we've got to each one come to that place. My parents came to this message a long time before I did. They came out from a denominational teaching. They heard the word. The word struck their heart, and away they came with it. That gives me no ties to this message whatsoever. That gives me no right to eternal life. That gives me no right to say, well, my daddy said it was right. That must be right. No, it has to be a personal, individual affair to you as an individual. And I want you to think about it. As the question was asked, Brother Branham, in Questions and Answers, and this was preached August 23rd, 1964. And just keep this in mind as I try to make a point here for each of us as individuals. Dear Brother Branham, will all the sons and daughters of true born-again believers be saved? No, brother. No, they sure won't. As I copied David Duplessis on this remark, God don't have grandchildren. Just sons and daughters, see? They'll be born just exactly like their father or their mother was born of the Spirit. And that's what makes a man a new person, is because he's born again, reborn. His first birth brings him a natural man on earth. His second birth brings him a spiritual man of heaven. And it changes him. His soul, not his outward conscious, his outward being, his senses, he still feels, smell, taste, and hear. But his inward parts, his desires, what motivates him has been changed to God, see? Now remember, the only way that this could happen would be this, just like it was in the time of the Roman centurion. Paul told the Roman and him and Silas when they wanted to pull his sword and kill himself because God had shook the jail down with the earthquake. He said, do thyself no harm, seeing we're all here, rise. And he wanted to know what he could do. He said, rise and be baptized, calling upon the name of the Lord, and thou and thy house shall be saved. See, in other words, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou and thy house shall be saved. So think about that. Each one of us is individuals. God doesn't have grandchildren. I'm not entitled to this message because my sister sits here tonight. She's not entitled to this message because I sit here tonight. And we must truly recognize that. You know, you think of Sister Eloise sitting here, and then Sister Karen's her daughter, and Brother Josh's hurt Sister Karen's son, and we see this tear. But that don't give any of them a right to eternal life because one or the other accepted this message. We all may follow one another, but it comes down to an individual affair. Who does Christ get the preeminence of, and whose life is a true vindication and manifestation of that word living back forth in this age? You know, it comes down a lot of times to people as we talk about an ultimate, and it becomes down to the do's and the don'ts. Well, so-and-so says I can trim my hair, and so-and-so says I can put on a little makeup, that's okay. So-and-so says I can do this, and so-and-so says I can do that. That don't matter. Even to my very children, they can come to me and say, Dad, I'd like to do this thing. What do you think? It's not my decision to make. Once you've reached the age of accountability, you go before God. If you feel you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, and you ask God, I can give you advice, but you've still got to have his leadership. And that goes for all of us. My dad may sit here as an aged veteran and a wisdom and say, son, this is what you should do. I can't live on my dad's opinion. I can't live on his advice. I've got to have it from God's precious word for myself as individuals. And that's what's happened. As we'll read it here. Let me read it the way Brother Branham put it about the Pentecostal church. And this is in the Sumerian church age. And I didn't write down a page number for it as I printed this, but it would be about the fourth chapter of the Church Age book. But just listen to what Brother Branham was saying. He said, the last age started with the fires of a Pentecostal revival, and they organized it right back. Instead of taking the word, they took their own ideas and did just what every age has done, substituted the manual for the word. Just you step outside the manual and see what happens, and you're out, brother. They will persecute you, blame it on God, and how they love their organization, no wonder. They are second-generation Pentecostal, since God doesn't have grandchildren. They are just children of their fathers, known by their creeds, form of worship. They can talk about what used to be, but they can't produce it. Once they had lightning, but about all that left is thunder. But let them talk about the glories of their movement. So think about us. It's wonderful for us to talk about what God did through that prophet. It's wonderful to talk about what God did to vindicate that he was here and that he was bringing a message. But it can't just be talked about. That message was to be lived through people today. And it's to bring their bodies under subjection to God's word. That's how he sent the word. He said, as you hear the word, you become the word, and it'll take you under control. And as he goes on here, just listen, he says, but let them talk to you about their move that no, he said, but then let them talk to them about the glories of their movement, and they will say, yes, sir, I want you to know that this is a move that no man started. It came spontaneously. The Spirit fell all over the world. Yes, sir. And we got what they had at Pentecost. This was not of men, but of God. Then why didn't they keep it that way? If God started it, how come God couldn't keep it and finish it? If God didn't write a handbook of creeds and formulas and dogmas to start it, then what right did they have to do it? God poured out his Spirit upon the Baptists, the Methodists, and the Nazarenes, the Adventists, the Presbyterians, Brethren, Church of God, and several no-named, etc. All these brethren were brought up on different doctrines, bylaws, church manuals, etc. God swept it all to one side, and he destroyed their dispensational theories and restored the gifts of the Spirit, proving he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. But did those Pentecostals learn their lesson about organization? No, sir. They organized it and write back and have written their own textbooks, bylaws, church manuals, fellowship books, and etc. with one idea in mind, which is to prove that they now have all the truth and know all the answers and are therefore the elite of God who know the way and can show it unto others as God's appointed guides. But they haven't got it. They have hybridized themselves like the very group they came out of. And if they want to be in the bride, they're going to have to come out exactly as their forefathers did. So think about that. We can't, there's no ideas to it. God's word's laying before us. It's amen to what he said and move forward. And it isn't for me to, well, I want to keep a little bit of this and I want to keep a little bit of that. That's what happened with Lot's wife. She wanted to look back that one last time. There's no looking back when you come to this. It's moving on all the way. And each one of us, as we're facing down through time, we've got to realize you can't ride on daddy's shirt tail. You can't ride on my shirt tail, mommy's shirt tail. We've got to go in alone as individuals before Jesus Christ, and our lives have to be an example. It doesn't matter. My dad may tell me it's like this. You got to do it like this. But what if it doesn't line up with what was said here? Dad's word don't count. Mom's word don't count. It's got to come from here. And we must truly see that as individuals. God sent that prophet to individuals. Not everyone is going to see it. Not everyone is going to agree. But there's going to be a people that do take God's word and he vindicates it. That's the difference. You watch it change their life. When the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes, there will be overcoming. There will be a changed life. There will be a reaction. You don't have to tell them not to cut their hair. You don't have to tell them how long their dress has to be. You don't have to tell them if they need sleeves or not sleeves. The Holy Spirit inside of you will bring it to your remembrance and teach you and guide you into all truths. The Bible didn't say nothing about dress sizes. It didn't even. It says, be modest in all things and not to wear any apparel that pertains to a man. That's what it said. Look at how the scriptures are written for our admonition, and it's all in there. The scriptures on not cutting our hair. We don't need a cap on our head to keep for a woman to have her covering. It's in God's precious word, and it's been revealed to us in this last age. All we got to do is accept it and say amen to it and not try to mix it with our ideas or our creeds. And you watch God vindicate that word to you just exactly as he brought it. And watch it bring forth exactly what he said it would do. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. This is in the message God has identified by his characteristics. Paragraph 13. The thing is this, and we want to know what is truth. And that's the only one truth that I know is the Bible. God is going to judge the world someday, and we believe that. And each one of us mortals is going to be brought into his presence for judgment. I have a few notes wrote out here on that and scriptures that I want to refer to in a few minutes. Now remember, if I should ask tonight, is there a Catholic here? And yes, they'd say perhaps, well, what will God judge the world by? And they'd say the Catholic Church. And then I'd say back, what Catholic Church? They disagree. There's plenty of disagreements. One's a Roman, the other one's a Greek, the Orthodox, so forth. We have plenty. The Methodist would raise up and say he'll judge it by the Methodist church. Well, if that's so, then the Baptist has not got a chance. And if they judge it by the Baptist, then the Methodist doesn't have a chance. Because remember, one little misquoting of the word, one, not all of it, just all but one verse, just one little iota of misbelieving the word caused every death, every sickness, every sorrow. That was Eve in the Garden of Eden. Now, if all of this cost that for just one lady misunderstanding the word, she didn't do it willfully, she was deceived. And the Bible said deceived by the word because it caused all of this, then you and I are not going back with anything less than the entire word. Now, I believe the Bible says that he won't. I don't believe God will judge the world by the Pentecostal church, by Methodist, Baptist, or Catholic. He'll judge it by Jesus Christ. He said so. And Christ is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So how important it is for us as individuals to make our calling and election sure, as Peter said, and to make sure that each one of us, it doesn't matter how old I am. If I've reached the age of accountability, I'm responsible for God's precious word. If I'm old enough to know what's right and wrong, I'm responsible. And how we should each one take it into consideration. And that's what I'm saying. Each one of us, we may gather here, and all of us may be family members here or there or another way. But that don't give us rights to eternal life. Our pastor's not here tonight, but just because we may be best of friends, because I really respect him, because I really think he's a good pastor, maybe I come here because I feel that he's bringing the word, that don't give me the right to eternal life if Jesus Christ is not manifested and vindicated through my own life. God's not taking a church full of people back. He's taking individuals that'll make up that called out elected church. And he said there was going to come one that would not only have the mechanics, but the dynamics of it also that would make it live. God's word being life, being reproduced through a bride in this last age. And he's calling individuals to do that. And when you begin to see God and he begins to deal with your heart, because the Bible says, no man can come unto me unless the Father which sent him draw him, and I will in no wise cast him out. And it says, and they will all be taught of God. In John the sixth chapter and the 44th, 45th verse. So look at what God has done. But as individuals, we've got to make sure we're taking heed to every word God's given us. And make sure we're not leaning on somebody else's idea, not leaning on some past doctrine. What a mess I came from a few years ago. Look where we've been. Look what we've heard. We can't lean on something that we thought was maybe right. You've got to go back and search it and make sure that everything you do and everything you believe and everything you're standing on lines up 100% with God's precious word. That's every one of us is obligated to that. And we've got to see it ourselves. Me doing it because somebody else wants me to do it, that don't make it right. I can dress ever so holy and do everything just so right and try to be ever so perfect. That ain't it. It's got to come from the inside out. And when you hear that word and you receive that word, you watch it begin to change and bring this body under subjection. You watch the things of the world go slightly dim because it changes your desire, your passion, and your appetite. You don't have to worry about, well, I'd still like to go do this. I'd still like to have this certain thing. No, it goes away. God has a way of making sure that when he said he changed it, he changed it. And oh my, what a difference it'll make in your life. But oh, may we truly see the reality. There seems to be so much fussing in this day. Why, I believe it like this, and I believe it like that, and oh, it's got to be like this, and oh, we better do it like that. No, do it like God said. And there's no question. Repeat it just like it was written and watch it take effect. Say, Lord, reveal it to me in the way that you delivered it. Just reading it's not it, but reveal it to me, Lord, that the revelation of that precious word will take my body under subjection. Hey, man, pray something was said to be able to help you, to give you a little bit of encouragement, because by God's grace we're going through. Hey, man, we're going to finish this race and see it done. Let's all stand, if you would. Hey, man, let me get a drink of water. Let's try that little course. Help me run in this race. Hey, man. Help me, Amy. Lord, let me run in the race. Help me not bring you disgrace, but let me rise on the wings of faith until the day I see your face. Lord, let me
bring you disgrace, but let me rise on the wings of faith until the day I see your face. Amen.
You know, saints, I'm so glad to see what God's done for us. You know, looking back, I was thinking today as I was driving down the highway and thinking back to being a young man and where we came from and thinking of all the rules and the regulations that we thought we had to follow and thinking that was making me a Christian. Thought I was so right because I was doing everything I was told to do. But that's not it. You've got to see for yourself that you must be born again. As Jesus said in the New Testament, you must be. And you've got to see for yourself that you needed him. And that you must repent and be baptized and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And this promises unto you and to your children as many as the Lord our God shall call. I'm so glad I was in that number he was calling, and he's not done yet. Amen. They're still calling. There's still people filling a draw. And if you fill that draw, you feed it with all you've got in you. And you lean to it and you yield to the Holy Spirit. And you may not fully understand how, but you pray and ask God, Lord, continue to show me where you want me to go. And you watch God make the difference in your life. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Precious Lord, we just want to say thank you. Lord, that it's not my words, Lord. I'm just a mouth tonight, Lord, that's been rehearsing what you left here for us. And it's not my idea, Lord. It's what you said. And Lord, I read it exactly the way that you had it put on print. And Lord, I just pray that you'll take this precious word that you watch over, that you said was spirit and life. And Lord, may it help each one of us in some way this evening. Lord, help us to press and to keep climbing and reaching for higher heights in you. Lord, the world's in such a turmoil, but it doesn't have to be, Lord. Your answer's laying here. There's chaos all around us, Lord, and people wondering, and there's many people that just say, oh, I wish the prophet could just come back. Lord, he's here. The word was here that the prophet was sent to bring. The mysteries are here, Lord. They've been finished. We just need a revelation, Lord, of the word that you've left for us in this age to bring us to that rapturing face, the unity of the faith till we all come to the fullness of Christ. Lord, let it burn in our hearts, and Lord, may we continue to hunger. And if it be your will and you should tarry and we would come back Sunday, Lord, open up our hearts. And let your word shine in, Lord, and just help us to relax out of our own ideas, our own ways of thinking, and just say, Lord, what is in this word for me? Lord, show me your ways, and let me be one, Lord, that'll be a light shining forth in this last day. And Lord, we ask it all to your glory and your honor, and we just continue that you'll pray to, we just pray that you'll continue to bless and strengthen those that may be sick, afflicted, Lord. Continue to raise them up, touch their bodies. Lord, we just pray you'll continue to give our pastor rest for his body, Lord. Strengthen him. And Lord, just help us all to continue to pull upon you for revelation. For Lord, that's where it comes. Man can rehearse, but Lord, we can't give the revelation. It only comes from you. And Lord, we ask you to feed us now. And we'll never fail to see that you receive the glory and the honor for it all. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Sing it one more time. Lord, help me run in the race. Help me not bring you disgrace, but let me rise on the wings of faith till the day I see your face. Amen. May the Lord richly